Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this afternoon. And, we're going to be talking, I'm sure, about things that are happening. And I want to share some things out of the Bible here as well this afternoon. But we are guest-free today, but I do want to let you know we are having a guest on next week. Gary Kah will be with us, and he was on with us a couple of months ago. And we'll be talking about globalist efforts here, and we're going to see if the Pope has his scheduled thing on the 14th regarding his educational initiative towards the global new world order and all this sort of thing. So pray for that and make a point on joining us next week. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless the program today. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. And we just hope we can point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers on their walk with you. And again, help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And that'll have links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as well as to our YouTube page. And we're actually broadcasting on YouTube live right now. I'm getting it shared over to our Facebook pages. As we speak momentarily, it should be on our Facebook page. You can follow us, like us, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ live with Pastor Al. That's facebook.com/live with Pastor Al. You can follow us there, and should have the YouTube link over there right now as well. But, I just wanted to, again, remind you about our church, the Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information about that at the close of the program, but we are open for services. We've been able, Lord is blessed, we've been able to continue through the duration of the governor's shutdowns, and I know that some churches were not able to, and we support any church that does what they felt the led of the Lord to do. I appreciate Pastor Lutz and his program there, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. He was telling about getting back to their in-house meetings last Sunday, and good to see they're able to do that again. And I know their situation considerably different than ours. We were joking one time talking about how in Lakewood, one of the most densely populated cities between, I guess, between New York and Chicago, they've got, I know he'll correct me on this, but I think it was about 50,000 people in about 5 square miles, and Richfield Village, Richfield Township together, we've got maybe just over 5,000 people in 25 square miles. So we're considerably, I just realized how this sounds, we're considerably less dense than Lakewood. That's not meaning that on intelligence-wise, about population density there. And also, you know, we were able in our situation to take precautions and kept me. We had a number of people who have not been able to come out during the services during this time for a variety of reasons. And so, you know, and some churches no doubt still are in a position where they can't start meeting. And again, again, I support and endorse any church that makes the decision between themselves and the Lord, what they should or should not be doing right now. Where I do have the problem is when churches say, oh, well, we've got to listen to what the governor says more than what the Word of God says. And so that's why I encourage churches, if you've not opened up yet, and got back, I encourage you to get into the Bible, pray, and see what God would have you to do. Don't worry about the governor. We've got enough information that's come out on this virus now to know that most of the people in your church are at very little risk. One thing that I've seen this referenced in a couple of locations, but essentially, the risk factor of dying from this virus, and I bring this up because Governor Cuomo in New York, I am just so thankful that we're not in New York, and I might have a lot of criticism of Governor DeWine and his handling and some of the things that he's done, but one thing I just praise God for, he's not Governor Cuomo. He's not the governor of New York or the governor of Michigan. It's just some of these people out there, well, I don't want to get distracted on that at the moment, but Governor Cuomo basically had said the virus equals death. And he's reiterated that several times. The virus equals death. And that's nothing but playing and on fear and trying to panic people to say the virus equals death, to imply that if you get this virus, you're going to die, or at least there's a very good chance that you're going to die. Well, here's your good chance of dying. If you get the virus, I've seen this several times now, and I've mentioned, I think, before, if you're in the 45 to 65 age range and you don't have any other, you don't have any outstanding health problems such as respiratory problems or some other things that make you at a greater risk, but the average healthy 45 to 65-year-old, your chance, if you get the virus, of dying is about 0.1%. That's 0.1%. You say, well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Well, it's roughly the same that you have of dying from the flu each year. And how many people really panic over the flu each year? I know a number of you get your flu shots, some don't. But it's about the same. If you're between the 18 to 45-year range, your chance of dying is estimated at about 0.01%. And if you're below 18, it's about 0.001%. Isn't that interesting? Because most of the deaths that are recorded that are truly from this virus, and they're having to adjust some of the numbers because they've been padding the numbers by, you're on your way to visit somebody that, was going to get tested for the virus, and so you get hit by a car and die. They record that. I'm being somewhat facetious, but not as much as you might think. They record that as a COVID-19 death. Okay, so you wouldn't have died if you hadn't been going to visit somebody or help somebody to go get a test or something. But anyway, a little facetious there, but they were putting quite a few things, and somebody pointed out, isn't it interesting, number of heart attack deaths, stroke deaths, cancer deaths, other deaths went down during the height of the plague. That's because some of those deaths were being listed as COVID-19 deaths rather than stroke or heart attack or cancer or something else, even some suicides and things. But like I said, your chances of getting the virus are really amazingly small, especially when you consider what we've done to our country. I just saw or heard that the unemployment rate now is over 14%. It was below 4% overall, like 3.5% or something like that, a 50-year low or better earlier this year. And now it's up to the highest level since the Great Depression. And that's what we've done to ourselves with this massive shutdown. And I really feel bad for the people who have lost their businesses, the people who have lost or are losing their farms. I saw a horrible story last night on the news, a hog farmer who he was an older guy, probably in his 70s, and he'd been farming all his life, and he was talking about having to put down the hogs because they can't get them to the meat processing plant. Plants are closed, and with the restaurants closed, the demand is down, and all, it's just a sad thing. And you say, well, why don't they give the meat to somebody who can use it? Well, it's not that simple. The farmer doesn't have the facilities to process the meat. That's what the processing plants are for. And when the processing plants can't or won't take them, the farmer has no place. He can't feed the animals forever. And so eventually he can't, he has to euthanize, he has to kill them. That's the, you know, without using the euphemistic term, he has to kill them because they don't have space, they don't have feed to be able to maintain them. And so it's a terrible thing. I don't want to get too much off into that either right now, as some other areas that I'd like to get into yet, but I do pray for our country. I'm thankful that finally Governor DeWine is beginning to open some things up a little more. My feeling is that he could have done this the end of April. He could have done this last week. I think he could have done it personally the middle of April, because by the middle of April, we knew the curve had been flattened. We also knew that all of the models were completely off. We knew that Dr. Acton's figures that were being used to scare everybody into submission were off by, oh, a tiny little bit, only about 700% off. Grossly exaggerated. Even the weatherman's not that bad in his forecasts. And we knew by the middle of April that we did not need all of this, and that we were now beginning to hurt ourselves much more through the shutdown than through the virus. But what we've succeeded in doing is frightening people. I think some people are about frightened to death. There's suicides that are shooting up because of just fear and depression and various things as a result of this. And I went to the post office the other day, and older lady got out of the car, and she got her cane, and she's starting to walk up toward the door, and I held the door for her like I would normally at any other time, actually, for just about anybody, especially an older lady that was obviously could use a little help. And I stood there, and she stopped, and she looked at me, and I said, oh, don't worry about me. I'm in no hurry. Take your time. And she says, no, I don't want to get too close. You don't have a mask on. So I went inside the post office, and guess what? She came in and ended up standing closer to me in the post office than she would have passing by when I offered to hold the door for her. So at any rate, like I said, you're listening to Late Night, or I'm sorry, Live with Pastor Al. I started to plug Late Night Live. That's our Sunday night program at 11 o'clock. If you've never listened, 11 o'clock until midnight on Sunday nights. I hope you'll join us there. And I hadn't given out our phone number. I had meant to earlier, 888-677-9673. And we've got Keith calling in this afternoon. Keith, welcome to the program today.
Time no talk to.
Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
Hey, good, good. I got to agree with you on Amy Acton. About, I think it was 6-7 weeks ago. Do you remember when she first said, at this time, there's probably 100,000 cases right now in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she was just so far off, and it almost seems like it became more of a political, just rhetoric than what it was, as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that sense back then, that sort of justify DeWine doing what he was doing? That's the way that I sort of interpreted it.
Well, and power is intensely addictive. People talk about, drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and things being addictive, but one of the greatest addictions is power. And when people taste power, it is hard to give it up. Pastor Lutz before was referencing about how she's made a comment about it's easy to climb up the mountain, it's hard to go back down. And of course, she was talking about walking back from where we're at, I guess, with everybody shut down. All personally, I've gone up mountains and gone down mountains with knapsacks on my pack, backpacks on my back, and I found it easier going down myself personally.
I think it's technical. I think there's more people been killed on Mount Everest going down.
Yeah, and I understand the thing because you get overconfident and plus you're tired and everything. Yeah. And but if you know what you're doing, it's actually easier to go down. And there's I guess part of where I was going. If you know what you're doing, and you know what your goal is, it's
you can drop your guard. And well, there's the old saying too. They say more accidents are within like a 1-2 mile radius of your house if you sort of drop your guard.
Yeah. So in other words, get out of your radius of your house real quick, right? So you don't get an accident.
Yeah.
But
life's strange twist.
Yeah. But I mean, if you know that the goal is to get us back to normal life, then you can begin doing it and release and open up a lot faster than what they're doing. If you know what you're doing and you watch what you're doing, I mean, obviously, like using the analogy of going down the mountain, like I said, people don't watch what they're doing. They get tired, they get overconfident, and they make missteps. And then, of course, once you start rolling, you go down the mountain pretty easily, don't you? but it's not a good way to go down. But the idea is when you're going down the mountain, you know your goal is to get down the mountain, and that makes it easier. If your goal is not really to get down the mountain, then it becomes somewhat problematic. And, you know, I sometimes question whether or not she wants to get down the mountain. I think she likes being on the mountaintop, being on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who she was. I was going to say nobody knew who she was a few months ago. Now everybody knows who she is. She's even got her own Facebook fan page for,
She comes off, I hate to say it, a little flaky to me, and I'll leave it at that, But, hey, now, are you buying into the theory that there's actually a patent on the coronavirus, and that's why they call it COVID-19? What do you know about that?
The COVID-19 actually is the disease, really, even though we refer to the virus that way. The virus is actually SARS-CoV or something like that. It's got a longer name because it's SARS-2, what did you say, /coronavirus? Yeah, and it's a line because it's a coronavirus. It's related to SARS and MERS, both of which are still around and both of which are actually more lethal than this one. The idea that there's a patent on it, I don't know about that. There's some vaccines that are being worked on, and some of them no doubt will have patents on them.
The proteins, right?
What's that?
Yeah, the proteins, actually. I've heard the proteins in some of the virus.
Yeah, and then there are some viruses that they work on trying to, tweak them a little bit, because I know some people are working with cancer treatment with essentially designer viruses that will go in and attack the cancer cells. And it's a little known fact, but most of the viruses in the world are actually beneficial or non-harmful. It's only a handful that are actually harmful, and those are the ones that get all the press. But a virus is essentially a protein sheath that's got some fatty acids and things like that on it, and with genetic material, either DNA or RNA, inside of it. And of course, it needs to infect a cell in order to replicate its genetic material and reproduce. But there's things that are done in research all the time, and some of the research is done in order to learn to fight these things, to know what's coming in order to fight them. But it's very clear that they were working on this in the level 4 bio facility in Wuhan, China. And Dr. Fauci apparently has had some connections with this and getting some money to that facility. And so it's been worked on. And there's been some studies back in October at Johns Hopkins. A number of groups came together, which included the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in order to study a pandemic, a novel coronavirus being released, going pandemic, and seeing what would happen. And as I've said on the program before, I think that this escaped the lab. Probably, you know, maybe some of the bats that they were studying, somebody was told to dispose of them. And one of the dirty little secrets is they don't necessarily incinerate the test animals. They might take them home for dinner or sell them in the wet market next door, you know, practically next door to the lab, and, you know, get some money off from them. So that's probably what happened. And then it released, you know, there's some $21 million over and above normal losses of cell phones in a service in China where these people just disappeared. I personally think that if they were going to release it, they would have released it in September, more time to disrupt our presidential election because, you know, the people who want the global order. They need to get rid of Trump. He's a big obstacle. And I've said it before, the biggest obstacle to a global order is the United States of America. The biggest obstacle to the United States of America falling is right now President Trump. And the biggest obstacle to taking President Trump out, I believe, is the born-again Christians in America who are praying for him and who have voted for him and hopefully who will vote for him again in November. So we need to keep praying. There's spiritual wickedness in high places arrayed against us, and it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. What do you think? I think the chance he wins by a landslide.
I hope that he does. I'm waiting to see who they're going to put up against him. I don't think it's going to be Joe Biden. I think they're going to replace him at the convention. I could be wrong on that. Regardless of that, I think if God's people pray like they did 4 years ago and get out in even greater numbers than they did 4 years ago, he'll have a landslide. So keep praying, Keith, okay. And I appreciate your call.
Okay,
and,
yeah, great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
You be careful. Don't rub the eye, don't look at the
All right, you take care then. All right, God bless. And let's get Nancy on here real quick. We got a couple of minutes, Nancy. How you doing?
Oh, okay. I don't know if you could cover it or not, and I didn't get anything with Bible verse, but it really concerns me. I don't know if you recall, I worked in a nursing home for over 20 years.
Yeah, they're still shut down in terms of people coming in.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm very concerned. There's no oversight for the last couple of months because, you know, relatives come in and they watch, you know, they keep an eye on their loved ones.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know most of the nursing home people are really conscientious and doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just address that, if you have any thank you.
Oh, yeah. In Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus used the illustration about, I was sick and you visited me. I really think that we can see, and I know that's talking about some things during the tribulation, but it also illustrates a very valid point that we ought to visit those who are ill and those who are shut in. And we think of the people in the nursing home. A lot of churches have nursing home ministries. Ours, I've been visiting in the nursing home since on a weekly basis since 97. Before we went to the Samoan Islands, I was in the nursing homes frequently prior to that. But this is the longest period of time since returning back from the Samoan Islands where my wife and I started church as missionaries. This is the longest time that I've not been going into the nursing home to visit and hold services. And so we pray for the people that are there. And let me encourage everybody to pray. If you know somebody that's in a nursing home, if your church has a nursing home ministry, pray for the people in those nursing homes because, like Nancy said, Without family members and friends coming to visit them on a regular basis, sometimes things get overlooked. People who have people visiting them, oftentimes, you know, extra sets of eyes, and plus the staff knows people are in there, and so it's just better able to meet the needs of the people. And this ought to be an encouragement to people when nursing homes do open back up, to be able to get out there and get in and visit people. Thanks for calling, Nancy. We're out of time today. I want to thank people for listening, and pray for our governor that he looks at the real science and drops some of these needless restrictions and we get back to normal here in America. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.